but prayer is important, and it's a habit of mine, but I have some other weirder habits. I don't know if this is because it got drilled into me that we never leave the lights on in my house, but I've started to go into buildings if I'm here at church on a night. Instead of flicking the switch on to turn the lights on to see what I'm doing, I'd rather go in at the dark and try to figure it out. And I know it's not good, but kids, you are dismissed, because I normally forget that, but now's the time if you want to go join Deidre. Now's the time before you guys listen to my boring story. But I choose to go it alone. So last night, I was setting up this table with all these things here, and it was in complete darkness. I thankfully didn't spill any water anywhere, Eugene, so that's good. But I do this a lot. I do it at my house. I do it at church. But for whatever reason, I just don't turn on the light. It would make my life a whole lot easier if I did, but for whatever reason, I choose not to. And then eventually, when I realize, shoot, I should turn on the light, my hands are full, or the light switches across the room, so I end up pulling up my phone and using the flashlight on it. Now, it would have been so much more simpler if I just walked in and flipped the light switch on and I could see what I was doing. Especially in the darkness, you're trying to like hold stuff up to the moonlight, and it's like, what am I doing? Or I'm trying to like close my eyes so that way I can see better in the dark, but light would just make my life so much easier. It would make my life better. It would make my life, I could see what I'm doing. I've spilt things in the dark and be like, crap, now I have to turn the light so I can see what's going on. But light makes life so much easier. You guys can see me better because we put in new lights. You can see where you're going because the sanctuary lights are on. When the sun is up, it's so much easier to see while you're driving. Luckily, we have headlights, but it's still much better when the sun's out. But light makes everything better. It heats us. It makes that nice candle as we walk into fall. I'm sure many of you have pumpkin spice candles or apple cinnamon candles, and you use light to light that and melt in the heat from it, and it makes your house smell really good, and you're like, I need to go make an apple pie now. But light makes life so much better. It's why we have it on our flashlights, it's why we have it on our phones. It's convenient now for many of us. But it's so many uses for light. And it makes our life so much easier. And I wish sometimes I had different things. Like if you ever had your hands full and you're like, I could use one of those headlamps right now. Or there have been times where I've gone hiking in the morning and we had to have lights or else we were going to trip. Another stupid decision of mine was at camp, there's this path from where we would eat down to our cabins. It was a rocky path. There looked like there had been water before. You could slip, fall pretty easily. And my friends and I started to run this path as stupid junior hires. And we started sprinting as fast as we could and became a race. We got so confident in ourselves that we could do it at night. Again, without lights. So maybe this habit developed very early on. But we would run this path. Luckily, I don't know how, but none of us ever got hurt. We started to memorize this path, but if we just had light, we could see where we're going. We could see what rock to jump to next, what path is super muddy, so I'm not going to get stuck there and lose my shoe. But light makes life so much easier, and it is essential to living. One of the first things we did was create light, fire, and now we have it easy accessible. You flip a switch, and it's all you can see. And I appreciate that. I'm sure many of you also appreciate that as well. Now lights have gotten even smarter. My house is now timed light, so when I come home, the lights are already on. Or many of you have motion lights, maybe going up to go to the bathroom. You need to see where you're going. All kinds of stuff. But light is necessary to us. And God agrees with us. And so maybe that's where we get it. But one of the first things God did was create light. If you flip to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it's literally the third verse. Third thing he does, first two verses describe the earth as empty and the darkness over the seas of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over these waters. So first, there was darkness. But in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was. God saw the light, it was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning. That was the first day. So the first thing he does, it is so essential to our living, is he creates light. And I guess we don't realize this. We kind of usually brush over that. We're like, okay, light's good. Let's move on to where we get created, right? Where the cool animals are created, those kind of things. But light created first. It is so important that God needed light. He didn't have the bad habit of me trying to create things in darkness. I think a lot of us would come out a whole lot worse if God was creating us in the darkness, right? Couldn't see what he was doing, and we might not look as good as we do. But light is necessary. God creates it first so that way he can create everything else. We have the morning. I'm not a morning person, but I'm sure many of you are, and so you enjoy getting up before light and seeing that the sun rise. My friends and I had a joke, because all of us were night owls, that you actually had to stay up all night in order to see the night, see it. So we would have these all-nighters, and about 6 or 7 a.m., we'd go to a park in college and then watch the sunrise come up. It was always a cool experience, because we're all sleep-deprived, so it made it even cooler. But it was always cool to see the sunrise in the morning. It's this first thing, how we wake up our day. And so it's necessary to us to have that light. And light isn't just something that we see, like the light fixtures or the sunrise, but it's something we have inside. God created light. God is the light. He talks about it many times, and that we are called to be the light. And we're going to walk through this process of how light being created first affects our light today, because God creating the earth thousands of years ago is like, okay, cool, thanks for giving us light. We'll move on about our day. But it is necessary for us. And light is so good that we share it with others. Right? Many of you don't just have a single light to see me, but rather we have a communal light to see each other. That way we can get up and greet each other and know who we're greeting and see them. Right? We're not just saying, who are you? Sorry, what's your name? But rather we can say your name and greet you that morning. And it's necessary for us. But God created it first, and what do we do with that light after? We flip farther into Psalms 119:105. We see that God's word is described as light. It is so good that it's described as your word is a lamp for my feet and a light unto my path. And when writing this, many of us nowadays have these super high-powered flashlights that can see hundreds of feet. We can see them far away. Even our phone lights are pretty good. Our floodlights in our backyards, we can see a lot. And so I don't have to worry about people because I can see you all in the background, all in the back. I can see if you're sleeping or not. But because of light, I can see that. And many of us need that sometimes, especially as we get older and our eyesight goes away. We need more light sometimes. But when writing this in Psalms, we have to remember that light isn't always necessary. It lights up the entire path. None of us can see our future because there's more light, but rather it is a lamp unto my feet. You can only see so much around you, and that's where faith comes in. Light is necessary and is good so we can see our next step, but that's all we can see. Because we have lights, I can't walk off the stage because I know what's next. I don't trip and fall and hit my head, but rather when we have a lamp, we can only see the next few steps, and that's where faith comes in. I feel like we forget that sometimes because we're so privileged with how much light we have in our world. But it is a lamp, only a few feet surrounded, and that's what we have to go off of. And many of us sometimes walk like we have no light. Many people in this world try to create their own light when God has already created theirs. They try to walk in the darkness like me and stumble and fall, spilling things sometimes, creating a mess of our situation. When if they just had turned on the lights so easily, they would have seen what was going on. Or even just had a lamp at their feet so they know where they were walking. I don't know if many of you have done night biking or walking at night or hiking at night, but it can be scary at times because you can't see what's always ahead. If you're ever at church at night, sometimes it can be almost creepy because every sound is amplified because you can't see it. That's why scary movies watching at 2 in the morning is a lot scarier than, say, 2 in the afternoon because we can see everything that's going on. But we have to live, sometimes we try to live our life like we can see everything ahead of time when it's not actually true. Sometimes we truly do need to look down at our path and take it one step at a time. Take it one day at a time, take it one hour at a time. We need to use God's light. It is not a light that we can artificially make, but it is something that God gives us. It is His Holy Spirit that lives in us. And so I ask you, would any of you like to walk a dark path without a flashlight or with a flashlight? I'm sure many of you would take the flashlight in a heartbeat to see what's ahead of you. And so why would you walk life without your flashlight? Why would you walk the path of life, running the race as Paul describes it, without light? It would be silly. Some would say foolish. Some would even go out and call you stupid for it. But some people, we do that. Some days we decide, I don't need that light on my path. I can go it alone, God, so I'm going to leave my lamp, my flashlight at home, and I'm going to go walk in the darkness. And we don't see where we're going. We don't see where we need to go. We don't see who maybe the faces that we need to interact with. We don't see the things that we need to do. So we need to remember that God's word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. It is something that you need to continuously fuel. When the lamp, you need fuel for it. You need to have oil. You need to be in your Bible reading on a daily basis to have fuel for the next day. You need to have batteries if we're going to have a modern context, right? And they always take weird batteries like C or D batteries, and so you need to make sure you have backups of those. But we need to live life with the light, and we're not going anywhere without that. And the light is not just a selfish thing. It's not just for me. I get to walk my path. I fueled up on my light so I can walk my path. But when you have light, you see others when you're walking together. You see them maybe stray off. You see their path go a different way. Maybe they realize that I'm walking in darkness so I can kind of go whatever way I want. But rather, it's a light that we need to share. And God calls us to do that. From the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, you see in verse 14, you are the light of the world, a tower built on a hill that cannot be hidden. So if you have a light, it is not an option. You can't hide it. Many of us may remember the small children's song of this little light of mine. And the verses go on, I'm not going to hide it under the bush. I'm not going to let the devil blow it out. And so we have to treat that as if that's true. I know many of us are away from children's ministry, but we have to live our life like a child's faith. We must have a light that I can use for my path and see where I'm going the next few steps, but bring it to others. If I see you in darkness, I'm going to invite you into my light. And not just my light, but God's light that I've been given, the light that I fuel on a daily basis, is important to have. Continuing in verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. So again, we see that unselfish nature where I need light. I'm reading my Bible. I'm in the Word on a daily basis. And now I have this light. It's not for me by myself, but rather to share, to send out, to be community driven, to reach those that maybe don't have their light. You ever light a whole bunch of candles, and sometimes it's easier rather than using a lighter and lighting each candle. Sometimes it's easier for someone to help you and take a candle and light other candles. You can multiply lighting tons of candles very easily and to share that light. And you still need to fuel your light, but you need to share it as well. God calls us to do it, and so I think it's pretty important for that. And it's important that light only gives dim light, so we need more people. If we all are going to go on a night walk together, and I'm the only one holding a candle light, there's going to be people in the back that inevitably can't see the light up front and are going to trip and fall. People that are going to wander off. Because only the few of us at the front will be able to get where we need to go, but the rest of us can't. So if I share my light with each and every one of you, then we all have a light and all see where we're going. And it illuminates a whole lot more. If you ever had a power go out, and sometimes, most of the time, people start lighting candles, right? Usually you light a candle in each and every room so you can kind of see where you're going. You don't just light one candle in the bathroom and expect to be able to go in the kitchen and see where you're doing. We need to share this light, and it's important to that. It's important to be a community outreaching church and share our light with other people. And as Troy has always said, that use words if you have to. You don't need to talk to someone to offer them your candlelight to light their candle. Rather, it's a gesture. It's a posture of willingness, of selflessness. And we need to have those postures as well. Because you're not going to be going far and people around you aren't going to be going far. Continuing in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's not a light for us, it is not a light that we create, but rather it's God's light that we're shining. We have to remember that sometimes. feel like we can get this complex, and especially you see it on TV's pastors, that they like to boost their numbers of how many people that they have saved, right? How many people they have brought to Christ. But we don't do the saving. No pastor, no person, no one does the saving. Rather, we lead them with that. I can give you a light, but if you just turn it off once I give you the light, there's nothing I can do. I can offer it against you, but if you keep turning off your light or not following it or dropping it, there's nothing I can do, but rather it's a constant. Remember, it's a lamp, so we need oil to feed that lamp. It needs to be a persistent thing. And so if I light your oil and then you run out of oil, I can only give you the light. You need to provide the oil. And again, how do we do that? We're in God's word constantly. We're not just showing up on Sunday mornings. We're not just going to small groups on Wednesday nights, but rather we're in our word on a daily basis to fuel our light on a daily basis. And we need to fill that to others. Maybe there are times that calls you to give that oil to other people as well, because that's what they need. They need a reminder of Scripture, so you give them a postcard, you send them a text with that, but a lot of it is going to be through actions. And it's going to be this gesture of unselfishness, this gesture of willing to share, to prosper, to walk alongside them as well. Maybe they're not ready to have their own lamp and have their own candle, so they need to walk with you a little bit, walk that path with you a little bit to first get there. And sometimes that takes years, and sometimes it takes decades, and you just got to keep walking with them, walk at their pace, because you're the one with the light, but they're not going to go much faster. And so I made this demonstration. This boat here that I've created represents us. And so this boat, it floats in the water, but it's not really going anywhere. It's not moving anywhere quickly. It's not just kind of floating. Maybe the winds take it, whatever, which way. And it represents how we deal with life sometimes. We let things tell us which way to go when we just kind of go with the flow. Maybe someone tells us to go this way, or someone tells us to go that way. We're not steering our own boat. We're not willing to do it, but we're just kind of there. We kind of float in that. But if this will work, there we go. There's light. Light gives us direction on ways to go. We've talked a lot about paths, but it works in this instance as well. So if I take this candle and not burn myself, give it a second, hopefully. Sometimes they don't always work, so. We'll give it a little bit. But in theory, what's happening is this light is heating up this boiler and able to power it. And therefore, this light gives direction to it. If it will work, maybe. But it's possible it doesn't. I did this in high school and it worked then, but I've been out of high school for a while, so. But it's kind of slowly working. But also back then, we had a lot bigger candles than what I have today. So it's working a little bit. But sometimes it's not always fast-paced, right? We think once we're on fire for God, and we run a little bit, but and we end up walking too with it. If you're going to run with a lamp that has oil in it, it's probably not your best idea. You might burn yourself. You might run out of oil. But we need light to go places. We need light for direction. And where does that direction come from is your choice. You can choose to have direction come from the world, come from the movies you watch, the shows you watch, the people you listen to, whether it be in a local context or those celebrities you watch and give attention to in your life. Or you can have the light, the one that comes from God, provide direction for you. You can have it power your boat a lot better than my boat has here. But it'll give you direction. And we need that sometimes. I know many of us, especially Generation Z, has dealt with a lot of mental health more than any other generation. They feel a lot, very lost. Doing a lot of Gen Z workshops and stuff, but people from 20 and 30 feel lost, like they have no direction. Coming out of college, they don't know what to do. the very high percentage of people that don't use the college degree that they earned, that they spend thousands and thousands of dollars on, and they don't use it because they feel lost, they have no direction, they go wherever the wind pushes them, and sometimes that's backwards a lot. Without a light on our path, without a light powering our direction, we have no direction. And so if you're feeling this power of loss, if you feel like, I don't know where I'm going, I'm walking in complete darkness, then I welcome you. I have a solution for you. I offer and extend my candle with light on it to light your own candle. And I challenge you to fuel your candle, to not just let this be a Sunday of good word and you go home and maybe Monday feels really good, but by the end of the week you're empty and you've run out of light and you're back in darkness. But rather, I challenge you to fuel it on a daily basis. Create a habit of doing something. I know many of you have habits, whether it be knowing when hunting season comes around and you're out there that first week. I know some of you do. Others have habits of going to work on time, working out, reading a certain book, giving time to the kids, whatever it be, but you have habits in your life. And so I challenge you to have a habit of refilling your lampstand, filling it with the word of God, and then sharing it to others. Realizing that what you have is so important, that the light you carry and have the ability to have is so important that your neighbor next to you needs it. Maybe that's your physical neighbor in the house next door, or maybe it's your neighbor next to the cubicle at work, or the person next in the blind with you as you sit there for hours. Those neighbors and the people that in your life that need light may not realize it. You may not realize it. But I challenge you over and over again to make it a habit. It seems like my boat is working. I've made a mistake, though, because my engine, my pipes are too high. But it does work, I promise. Here, I'm going to figure it out. But if I don't burn myself. There we go. There it goes. So, it does work. And that should show you that this light I'm talking about does work as well. You could be like the boat before and it doesn't work because it was poorly constructed. That's not my fault. But it does have direction now. It has the power to go places that maybe it never thought to go before. Maybe you never realized that what you need or what you want and God providing for you is right in front of your face, but you're in darkness and you can't see it. One of the first weeks I was ever here, and I talked to the teens about direction, I had teens close their eyes and try to walk across the youth room, except I had put tons of stuff in front of them, and they immediately hit their shins on tables and ran into chairs. It was a pretty good introduction for me personally. I thought it was kind of funny. But it was a point to prove to them, right, that they need to open their eyes, they need to be in light to see where they're going. And some of you may be running into the same table, hitting your shins over and over again. It's very possible. But again, I challenge you today and for the rest of the week, create a habit. It takes you 21 days to create a habit. So you have 21 days to continuously fill your lamp. And before you know it, it becomes something that you don't even think about. I know many of us check Facebook on a daily basis, check social media, all kinds of habits that we have. But we need to trust that the lamp that we light, even though it may not light as far down the path as you may like, that it takes one step at a time. Because if you could see your path, it requires no faith. But when you have a lamp that only shows you 2-3 steps ahead, and you might be scared, but it's worth taking that step. Because then a little bit more is shown. And you take another step and a little bit more is shown. And I want you to remember that light was so important God created it first. He's able to create everything else after that. It's the first thing he did. That light is a path. We have a path to walk, and his word is a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. That you're not going anywhere without the fuel that you need. And it's in the book. And if you come to me and you say, I don't have a Bible, I don't have this word you're talking about, I will gladly give you one. You can download your phone to make it even easier. But there should be no excuse, because I will find and solve that excuse for you. Because that's how bad I want you to have that light. And it's how bad I want you to be able to light your path, because we realize that the people next to us, walking alongside of us, may not always be there. Whether it be family members or friends or coworkers, that we can't always just mooch off of their light to walk the path with them. That maybe God calls us across the country to light our own, to walk our own path away from that. And so once again, I want to remind you of key points. God created light first. It is that important, and it should be that important in our life. How do we have that light? We read the word on a daily basis. We fuel that light every day. And three, it is something not to be hidden. Rather, it needs to be shown with everyone. We need to put it on a hill for the people to see. So this church should be a hill of light, something that shines to the rest of the community, that the people in darkness can find a way to walk into these doors. And sometimes you need to walk with them for that. And there's all kinds of ways to get plugged in to do that. Small groups, Sunday school, youth group, children's church. There's plenty of ways. And I also want to challenge you that if there isn't a way for you personally, create it. There's probably more people like you that need it. There's a men's meet and greet, there's women's Bible studies, but if you feel like your need isn't being met, that you're walking down this path and there's other people and you want to share those light, create it. I guarantee you Troy and I and the rest of the staff will give you the green light to do that. I guarantee you that. So go this week, walk your path not in darkness, but rather the light of God, the light that is all-powerful, that we trust, and share that light with everyone you come in contact with. Feel free to give them a little bit of oil. Give them a lamp. Let them walk the path with you. And so that one day that they have their own light and they have a powerful habit of refueling that light every single day, just as I've called all of you guys. So go, spread the word of God, and use words if necessary.